Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
The one thing I know for sure is baseball will be back. Whenever it's safe to play, we'll be back. Our fans will be back. Our players will be back. And we will be part of the recovery, the healing in this country from this particular pandemic.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is Rob Manfred. That's who you're hearing there. And obviously there has been a movement, whether it be real, imagined, aspirational, whatever it might be. There's been a movement to try to get things back on some sort of track and to sort of look at a timeline that may or may not be effective and come up with solutions to the fact that we are in a desert of a sporting landscape, and maybe going to the desert is the answer to that, David.
Yeah, you know, I think that, not to borrow John Paxson's words, but in one point in time when he was explaining things, I mean, hope is not a plan, but there's more than hope to this plan. And I think when you look at some of the things attached to this report overnight from AP and then ESPN with Jeff Passan reporting it, when you see officials you read that officials from the CDC and the National Institute of Health were involved in talking this through and outlining some of these parameters, it gives you more than hope. It gives you a belief that this is possible, feasible, and I don't want to say likely because we can't predict what's going to happen next week or next month, Mully, but I do think it does provide a glimmer where maybe one didn't exist before because of some of the realities that are being set forth. Now, it's a big ask. If all of these things were to happen and it were to be deemed safe to get everybody from Major League Baseball, players and everybody else in Arizona for the beginning of a season in May or June, there's a sacrifice that's involved on the player's side that I assume that most players would be willing to make. But I guess you can't guarantee it because that's 4.5 months, in theory, away from their families, away from their homes in Arizona. So I think these are some things that these are extraordinary times. They call for extraordinary measures, but that is going to be something to see the reaction to this proposal.
312-644-6767. Let's start with Tim. Tim is listening online. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm so glad you guys were talking about golf. Not so much watching it, but I need to play. I'm not even good at golf, but I need to play. I'll take a seven-hour round. I mean, what a perfect social distancing sport. You can make rules where you don't have to pull the flag. I mean, really, the way I golf, the only people I'm going to give the coronavirus to if I got it are the ducks in the pond or the trees in the out-of-bounds. So I don't stand near someone on the green. I don't stand near someone on the tee box. I mean, we're providing a job. You have a guy in the clubhouse, take your money. You walk only. A guy to drive around, make sure the groups are staying far apart. You go out in twosomes. I mean, people need this right now. I mean, I'm tired of walking around the neighborhood. I need to walk around the golf course.
Thanks, Tim.
You know, there are people there are people out golfing even without, you know, the being able to get tee times, and I see people on courses just hitting the ball. I mean, it's not unusual.
People just want something to do, Mully, at this point. And I think that if a golf course is empty, people are going to be tempted to go out and try to, you know, do something to stay active. I think it's a different – obviously what we're talking about is the competitive, the PGA coming back in June, which is what it looks like they will come back in June. It's the easiest sport to stage at this point in time because there is no, like, you can control – the players in proximity to each other easier in golf than any other sport. And plus it just, to see it's competitive. It's, you keep score. It's a TV sport that people, you know, enjoy watching. So to me, that does make the most sense for being the first sport back.
Yeah. I think that's a fair idea. Let's get to Kevin. Kevin is in Palatine. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Show's been great. Listening every morning on my way to and from work. I love the PGA thing, and that first guy cracked me up because I'm the same way. I don't know if I want a seven-hour round, but I have to get back out on the golf course as soon as possible. This baseball thing, though, is super intriguing, and that's it kind of seems to make the most sense just because the different hot spots in the United States are popping up at different times, so kind of like Dustin's thing about having everyone in Vegas for baseball. But the one thing I loved about the Jeff Passan article, and I know everyone's not thrilled about this, but the seven-inning doubleheader, it sounds like they are looking at doing everything. And my favorite part of the whole thing is the electronic strike zone. Absolutely take the framing thieves out of the game, and it makes Wilson Contreras probably the second-best catcher in all baseball. So anything to benefit the Cubs is great in my world. So have a great day, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Maybe they go to the DH, too. Yeah.
Well, they're trying all these things, and what Kevin's referring to is some of the things that mentioned in the story. If this were to be the case, and the proposals include an electronic strike zone, no mound visits from the catcher, seven-inning doubleheaders, regular use of microphones by players as a bonus for TV, and this one's interesting too, Mully. No use of the dugouts, sitting in empty stands 6 feet apart for the players just because to enforce the social distancing.
Yeah, that makes sense anyway, doesn't it? I mean, aren't we all kind of when you look at it, isn't that the only real period of time? And if you've got empty stands, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Oh, you know, this guy's bored out of his mind. Hey, like, chew on some sunflower seeds, okay? Concentrate on spitting out sunflower seeds. That'll help you get through a game. What are you going to do? You know, you can't get too worked up about the idea that... what's great about the desert is that there aren't as many people there, right? There's a lot of people in Florida. You know, the Yankees play in Tampa, like right across the street from the stadium there. And there are just, you know, Tampa's a town where there's a lot of people floating around. There's just not the same, you know, go to Glendale and there's really nothing around that ballpark. I mean, you'd have a hard time walking from the hotel to the ballpark. You'd have to have buses and everything because there's nothing nearby. I mean, you're kind of very much removed at some of those ballparks.
You're not going to have as much congestion. And I think that's one of the appeals. There's also going to be, though, the challenge. If you're playing, depending on how long this is going to be sort of the baseball biosphere in Arizona, the heat at some point in time is going to factor in because these are going to be 115-degree days, and they're going to have to play at night, and they're going to have to expand rosters because of that. There are a lot of things and a lot of sacrifices, a lot of changes that people are going to have to be willing to embrace. I just wonder, once this is floated publicly as it is today, and it says that the MLBPA is on board with this idea and this discussion, what will the players, what will the rank and file think of this possibility? Because once they think, okay, everybody loves the idea of baseball, but when it calls for the realities of actually being away from your family for 4.5 months, will they embrace that idea, Mully? I don't know. I assume most will, but I don't think that we can assume every player will.
Yeah, they're talking to the union, and the players want to get back too, right? So I don't know. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's difficult, you know, if you're Mike Trout and your wife is having a child, you know, whoever you are, and you've got that hanging over your head, you don't want to get on a flight. You don't want to go to an airport. Drive. You can drive to Arizona. I mean, if you're out in L.A., good God, that's right around the corner. Who are we kidding? Comparatively, and there are, you know, there's a lot of country out there in these great United States, and I think that there would be nothing wrong with giving baseball players a week to get out there, get yourself Joe's trailer home and drive out there if it's that big a deal. A lot of people have old places in Arizona. It's not like it's not like they don't go to camp for a month or something. So, you know, David, if you even planned 4.5 months, would it really be 4.5 months out there? I mean, we don't know. And
well, you don't know because you would have to plan for the extreme, right? As long as 4.5 months, hopefully it wouldn't be that long, but you have to plan just in case it is. And there are all sorts of different possibilities. Look, this is the early stages of this. They had a conversation. They've been having talks. But I do like the fact that there's some at least medical professionals and officials involved in planning this path and maybe looking forward to some baseball because we have nothing right now at the moment.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hey, Chicago. This is Eloy Jimenez. We are not playing right now. You shouldn't be either. Be a hero. Stay at home. Do your part to slow the spread of COVID-19, to stay at home and save lives. Go Sox. Hi, Mom!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It takes Eloy to tell you to stay at home. So I
that
like
was
that.
Cool.
That's a public service announcement. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not playing. And did you see Mayor Lightfoot come out yesterday from the tunnel of Soldier Field, walk to midfield and have her little press conference with the social distancing?
Yeah, it's a very important thing to do.
She was like a closer coming in the ninth inning. It was awesome.
I mean, all right, let's get back to the – go ahead. I'm sorry, David.
No, it was like she walked alone from the tunnel to midfield, and it was for effect, definitely in an empty stadium. It delivered the message, and we're not playing. And they got all the teams in town involved. And Eloy was funny, and that was a good message.
Let's get back to the phone lines. Gary is in Pingree Grove. Good morning, Gary.
Hi guys. I'm in the Villages, Florida, which is the world's largest active adult community with 130,000 people, and golf is king down here. But there's some pretty easy guidelines you can put in for social distancing. One person in a golf cart, unless it's your spouse. No gathering on the tees. You don't have to touch the flag because they have PVC pipe around the holes, so you don't pull out the flag and you don't reach in and get your ball and things like that. So it's actually pretty easy to do.
Thanks for the phone call. I would think that from a participation standpoint, golf is the easiest sport that you could imagine playing without having to worry about some of these things. You could, you know, it's something you can do by yourself. It's something you can. It's not like the other sports, but it's not as exciting to watch. I mean, I guess it's a matter of taste, but it's not like watching other sports on television as well. I welcome it back. I can't wait for it to return. But it's not like having the other team sports back.
I got to tell you, this, what's happening here and what's happening on a worldwide scale is just, it can be shocking. I don't know if you saw the story. Pep Guardiola is the manager of Manchester City, and he has seen what's going on in Spain, and he donated €1 million to the hospital in Barcelona. And to, you know, there's really good feel-good stories about all that. But the news breaks this morning that his mother, Dolores Sala Carrió, died in Barcelona at the age of 82 from coronavirus. So, I mean, here is a guy in Pep who seemed, you know, kind of immune to everything, certainly criticism, just an amazing person at what he does. And I don't know why. I'm always shocked when it's somebody connected to someone really famous. And I think it's because you imagine that their resources will somehow protect their family. And I don't know that that's the case. I think that especially older people are really in trouble with this stuff. And it's one of the reasons that younger people that might not be in as dangerous a place have to be careful and have to be, willing to do what they can to flatten the curve and to keep this from happening to people.
Yeah, everyone's got to do their part. No question about it. And I think that when you talk about the age of people involved, this Major League Baseball proposal, one of the things that's mentioned in the story is that the managers, the umpires, the people that aren't at the peak physical condition necessarily, how would you have protections for them as well? And that's one of the concerns, obviously one of those questions that they have to address.
Let's get to Dr. Dave. He's listening online. Good morning, Dr. Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. It's great listening, talking a little bit about baseball. But any plan that baseball has going forward for the players to play will have to involve testing, and I'm talking about rapid testing. And there are going to be two different kinds of tests that they'll have to be able to do with a quick turnaround. One test will be actual presence of the virus. The second test will be that you already have immunity to the virus. And this is what's interesting. The baseball plan will actually be a microcosm of a community plan when there will be widespread testing. We have all the players involved. You have kind of one set community, and you test them all. And if you're able to kind of make sure that they're all safe, then they can all kind of play together and do the sport together. When you have rapid testing in the community, the same plans will apply. People who have the virus will be identified quickly. They'll be isolated. And then those people who already have immunity to the disease, they'll be able to kind of go out and reenter the workforce.
Thanks for the phone call. You know, that's an interesting point to make, and it's also addressed in the story, Molly. It says that most important would be a significant increase in the available coronavirus test with a quick turnaround time, which sources familiar with the plan believe will happen by early May to allow MLB's testing not to diminish access for the general public. So what they're doing here is they are taking maybe a leap of faith, but they're basing it on the science. And these are officials from the CDC and the National Institute of Health saying, the way things have progressed, there is a belief or a confidence that these tests would be in place and there would be the rapid results like the Abbott test that we've seen come, you know, out of Lake Forest. And in the recent week or so, that's made a difference and an impact. And they feel like that technology will just continue to get better and quicker and faster.
We also had a conversation, if baseball does get up and running, we had a conversation about the idea that you're in Arizona, right? And that would seemingly be a good thing for teams based in Arizona. And last I checked, David.
Yes.
The Cubs are in Arizona.
Both in Arizona.
In Arizona.
Oh, so you think they'd have an advantage? Yeah.
I told you. It's not a Subway Series. It's a Stagecoach Series. So everybody.
I like that.
You got the Stagecoach Series. There's the doctor, and there's the guy, the gunman, who. Oh, forget it. You ever see that movie, Stagecoach? Great movie. The early John Wayne movie. It's like a John Ford Western. It's baseball. What do you think?
Is it on Netflix? Can I chill with it later? Maybe. But you know, from a competitive standpoint, you do wonder because, okay, that's the other thing. Do teams in Arizona have an advantage over teams who train in Florida because of the comfort zone? Maybe some players live in Arizona because there are teams like, you know, you look at the Cardinals, the Braves, teams who have legitimate hopes of competing if there is a season in 2020. Are they at a disadvantage because they're going to be uprooted and having to spend 4.5 months in a place that's kind of playing in ballparks they're not used to playing in, whereas the Cubs and the White Sox, in the local example, they're pretty comfortable out there. It's not a foreign place. They may prefer it out there at times.
You know, but we have someone saying, can you imagine player standing out in 127 degree heat. If you go 4.5 months in Arizona, you'd need the swimming pool where you can dive in and manage to cool yourself off somehow.
That's a problem. I mean, that's something that's going to be on the list. But what would you rather have? Overheated, dehydrated baseball players playing meaningful games or no baseball at all? I think that you'd figure it out, right?
Listen, you could start the season out there, right? And you could start figuring out how to do it. Then hopefully we get to a point where you can play everywhere, right?
That's it. It's like, you know, you're packing for a long trip, but you're hoping not to be able, you don't have to stay for the entirety of it. You're planning for 4.5 months with the hope that maybe by the end of June, maybe by the end of July, whenever it may be, that you're going to have be able to return to some sort of normalcy, return back to the where it's going to not be as big of a logistical challenge. Because right now, there's the health challenge, which is the biggest one, and then there's the logistical realities, which, you know, they're not insurmountable, but they're not insignificant either. So you have to consider all of these things. It's a big conversation, and it's a difficult one to have, but at least they're having it. And I think that's what people are waking up to this morning. There is hope for baseball as early as, according to the reports, next month. And if that's the case, then a lot of people will be thrilled with that idea.
And these facilities that we're talking about out there, it is not like, these are absolutely beautiful baseball stadiums. They're designed for baseball. There are all sorts of backfields and stuff that everybody can get prepared for the season on. But once you get into those stadiums, they play night games during spring training. There are facilities
Sure.
that are set for that. It's not like you can't, if a day is going to be particularly hot, it cools off a little bit at night, doesn't it? Even in the desert. So I don't know that you can, I mean, if you want to, you can find 1,000 different reasons not to go ahead with it. But the very fact that they're trying to find reasons to do it tells you a little something about where we're all at as a society and how desperate everyone is, you know, not just in terms of baseball making money, but just to see something normal. And I think it'd be a really big shot in the arm. Sports are important for people, and it would help to have some live entertainment, no question.
Well, when the Major League Baseball Players Association is on board with this idea, it tells you that this is much better than the alternative. And the alternative is facing a 2020 without a baseball season, or without, you know, a baseball until August, or dare I say September. So the sooner the better. And if they're willing to make these kind of concessions, it underscores how serious it is and how real the possibility is that maybe if they don't entertain this possibility, where we are with the game. And I don't think anybody wants to face that reality. So they're willing to do some things like play in 115 degree heat if necessary, or play at night if necessary. It's not that big of a consideration, because it sure beats the alternative.
I got to say, the most amazing stuff going on right now in terms of entertainment is a lot of it is music. I mean, a lot of it is people doing different things. I know they had the country music thing last night, David. I'm sure you caught some of that. It's just extraordinary to watch how talented some people are. It kind of makes you regret that you, I don't know if you have any musical ability, David, but I certainly regret not having developed any of those talents, not really paying attention when I was trying to learn instruments as a kid, when I was involved in some of that stuff. I would really value that now had I the opportunity to.
I had no musical talent, no. I admire people who do, and I think it's a good time to kind of hone those skills and refine them if you have it. But I'm not sitting around bemoaning and regretting not being able to play the guitar because I never played the guitar.
Yeah, I am, because I never played the guitar. I wish I could, and I
watch
these people, and I'm like, oh, my God.
I stand corrected. I did take piano lessons for 2 years, I think, when I was 7 years old, but I don't think it went anywhere, if I recall correctly.
a lot of people think that you're a magnificent pianist.
Really? Very funny. All right.
Sorry. Had to go there. So listen, I was watching this thing yesterday. I don't know if you've seen the actor John Krasinski. He was in, I think he's currently in some Amazon series, right? On Jack Ryan, I think it's called. He also was in The Office, Jim in The Office. And he's married to Emily Blunt, who is a great actress in her own right. And he's doing a thing called Some Good News. He's doing his own little news show where he's like, I think it's on YouTube. But you can find it anywhere. And it is pretty special, some of the stuff that he's done. He had, who's the actor? The guy who plays Michael Scott on that show, Steve Carell. He had him on one episode, and they talked to each other, briefly. He's just trying to report some of the good things that people are doing during the course of this thing. And he's doing it from his living room, and it's kind of fun, and people are joining in. So yesterday, I don't know when it came out, but I saw it yesterday. They had this little girl on who wanted to go see Hamilton. She and her mother were planning to go see Hamilton, and it got canceled on her. So she watched Mary Poppins 2, which I've not seen, but apparently it's Emily Blunt plays Mary Poppins, and the Dick Van Dyke role is Lin-Manuel Miranda, okay? So anyway, they did this whole thing, and they had this little girl on, and they told her they were going to send her to New York, and they were going to do this thing. And next thing you know, Lin comes on himself, and they end up singing a song to this girl. And I got to tell you, it was spectacular. I was just stunned by it, did not see it coming. And I think my family, a couple of people knew about it, so as we sat there and watched it, I was a big fan of the play Hamilton and got to see it a couple of times when it was here in Chicago. Is it still? I mean, I think it reached the end of its run. I'm not sure that all the actors are still here or not. But it was really a special moment. And there are stuff like that. People are doing things like that are taking some of the pain out of this. And I think that musically it's a lot easier to do.
Yeah, everybody's got to do what they can to kind of get through every day by day, week by week, and try to, stay positive throughout this process. And that's if people turn to music, people turn to what makes them laugh, what makes them smile. And I think Mary Poppins Returns is the name of the movie, Molly.
Oh,
Mary
okay.
Poppins 2. Yeah, like Rocky
2.
It's not like Mary Poppins 2, but I think it's Mary Poppins Returns, right? Yeah. I have not seen that yet either, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're more up on the Mary Poppins than I am. I'll give you
okay,
that.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to bring Big Z in next. It's Big's time. We'll talk to him. He had a great story about the contract that Foles signed, and we'll break it down with him next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Brad Biggs. Big's time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Big's time.
The Biggs Report
with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Big Z.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. He is also a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you have the news, buddy. You are the man that put it all together. It was pretty extraordinary to see the contract that eventually was agreed upon by one Nick Foles. He must have wanted out of Jacksonville as much as they wanted him out of Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, he was going to have to streamline that contract that he signed 13 months ago in Jacksonville in order to fit in somewhere else, and he's able to fit in where he's really comfortable. He talked about his relationship with Matt Nagy and how that was, they really had met in Philadelphia, but truly bonded, I think, in Kansas City. And so this was a spot that he wanted to come to. He really cuts his base salary for the next 3 years, more than half of what it was going to be in Jacksonville, but he's got upside on the back end. I mean, he can make money with incentives, he can make money with escalators, and he can, the contract can void, not a player choice or thing. The contract would automatically void if he plays pretty darn well this coming season and the Bears do very well and reach the NFC Championship game. They don't even have to go to the Super Bowl for that thing to potentially void, which, you know, people would maybe throw their arms up and say, well, then the guy plays well, and then he's a free agent. The Bears are right back in the same situation. Now, if that happens, Nick Foles is obviously going to be motivated to re-sign with the Bears, and the Bears then would have the franchise tag at their disposal if they needed to create more time to be able to come to a contract agreement with him.
What a nice problem that would be to face if you're Ryan Pace. Oh, you know? So Brad, you know, some of the specifics I think are interesting. So as you report that if Foles takes 80% of the offensive snaps, has a passer rating above 95, and the Bears make the playoffs, he gets $2.5 million. He triggers that incentive. The question that I have for you then, as we've been discussing this, as this crazy restructuring that took place, and he actually volunteered, I think, that information, or he used that word, don't you think that he had to have been given some sort of assurance or feel very comfortable that he would be taking 80% of the offensive snaps in Chicago, or else he wouldn't have gone down this road?
I don't think they went there with him. I think he's got some natural confidence in his ability, and obviously I think they recruited him, you know, in the process of putting together the trade, because normally it would be tampering to go talk to a guy that's under contract with another team. But when Jacksonville goes ahead and clearly gave him permission to seek a deal, so at that point they're able to you know, contact his agent and really sell to the agent how they want him here. I don't think there's any promises that are made to him. Hey, between you and I, you'll be the guy. I just think Nick evaluated the situation here, probably felt the genuine level of interest that the Bears had, and then he's got some confidence in himself, because truth be told, if he's not the starter, then he's making, you know, really high-end backup quarterback money. And what was the alternative? Well, the alternative is he doesn't get traded, and then who knows what Jacksonville does. It was going to be hard to cut him with the guarantee that was still due, but anybody knows. That's anybody's guess. It was $21 million remaining guaranteed, so he knew he was going to get that. He got a huge payday last year. I don't think there was a promise made to him that he'll be the guy getting the bulk of the snaps.
Brad, Dan Pompey reported, our friend, and we certainly respect him, he reported that the Colts were in on that as well when he was seeking the trade, and it makes sense. You know, Frank Reich literally wrote the foreword to the book of his life story, and he talks in the book about how important he was to him. How close was that, and how much were they interested? And certainly they ended up with Philip Rivers.
Yeah, it's my understanding, guys, that interest from Indianapolis would have been prior to the Colts getting Philip Rivers, that Foles would have been, you know, some type of plan B or plan C, guy for Frank Reich and the Indianapolis Colts, because they went out and obviously they paid Rivers, $25 million for this season. They've still got Jacoby Brissett, guys, and Jacoby Brissett is getting pretty good money this year himself, about $15 million. Because, as you know, they re-signed they extended Brissett last year on a $30 million two-year deal. So with all that money combined in those two guys, to then bring Foles into the equation with $21 million guaranteed, I think that the Colts were clearly out before the Bears deal got put together, because they got Phillip Rivers in place before the Bears pulled off the trade for Nick Foles.
Brad, we've been talking about how yesterday the NFL edict that teams now will have to draft at home, and so every executive will have to stay within the confines of his home and make
Solo, I believe.
Solo, right? No, yeah. Company. You are your own company. So how might that change the dynamic, and how might that affect, you know, Ryan Pace's decision making? Because, you know, this is such a collaborative process, and now you have your own convictions, and that's it. So what do you think about this?
Well, I think it could really, things could be dramatically changed if the IT guy doesn't have the best month of his career, right? I mean, think about that. I'm envisioning, and this is insane because I understand why the league is doing this because of the COVID-19 concerns, but now you're probably going to have IT professionals traipsing in and about the homes of the 32 GMs in the National Football League, right? Laying all sorts of equipment down to pull this thing off. I mean, I'm envisioning Pace wanting a complete system and then like a total backup system, right? That, and what about GMs that maybe don't have a home generator? I don't know. What if the power goes out, right?
Right.
You know, if there's a storm, I mean, just think right. about all the, what could possibly go wrong? And these guys are going to be busy trying to figure that out in the next 2 weeks and then get people to pull this work off for them that would need to be completed. I think with the meetings that they've had, and they've been able to have more meetings than ever because no one's been on the road and there's no, players in the building or anything like that. So I think they'll be able to prepare for the plan. Certainly in the Bears instance, guys, they don't have any action on day one. They don't have a first-round draft pick. So maybe Pace will get some pointers from some of his friends around the league after day one. And then they've got to hit, though, on day two. And so I think you have the technology where you're connected to your head coach, where you're connected to your top evaluators, your key scouts. You've already got input from your area scouts that have been on some of these guys for the longest period of time. And you got to go. I'm interested to see, and I talked to a guy with another team over the weekend when he was kind of telling me that they thought this was the way this thing was headed. Will the NFL perhaps extend the clock on these picks? Will teams have more time to make the pick than they traditionally do because of the completely unusual circumstances that are going to surround this draft?
This could be the best thing that ever happened to the Bears, if I'm hearing you. That it means Ryan Pace can't trade up, right?
Oh, well, I mean, that's just it. He's going to have a designated – his designated phone guy is going to have to be, wherever. And, that guy is going to need his house to be all powered up. And
right.
And then he's these teams are going to have to get together and say, okay, our trade guy's, you know, Johnny Smith, and here's his cell phone, and here's his backup line. I don't, you know, it's, and so everybody's going to have these phone lists. It's going to be crazy, and that's just another kind of twist, whereas you've got the phone in the office, and you've probably got all the other trade lines programmed into it, I would guess, and because those things are crazy. Some of those trade situations where, you know, teams in a 7-minute span will talk to 12 different clubs. And,
right. Some of those trades are made with a second, 2 seconds left. It's crazy.
And that's why with communication sort of compromised, Brad. I mean, you don't expect there to be as many deals, and you also maybe expect there to be fewer reaches in the draft for guys who maybe – you know, you're making an extra phone call, or you're able to have that person and, you know, make an impression in person. Could that be a result of this as well?
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit back about how the cleaner draft pick, the guy with the safer floor, is probably going to do better in this draft. But I'm going to flip that around and give you one way this could help the Bears, guys. If clubs are out there looking for the safer pick, and they're a little leery of guys that there might be some baggage with, and I'm not saying the Bears do this with all of their picks starting in round 5, but is there a chance on day 3 that there's going to be a player or two with a pick or two for the Bears that have fallen because of whatever concern? Could be medical, you know, could be some other questions regarding the guy. But if all the clubs are putting a premium on the safer pick, do you have a couple guys that fall that all of a sudden the Bears are in round 5 and they're looking at a guy and the grade that they have would have put this guy at the back end of round 2 or the top end of round 3? Is there a pick or two the Bears are going to be able to pull off like that that would give them, you know, a little boom or bust for, again, a guy or two to possibly augment this class in a really positive way? You never know. I mean, it might blow up in your face, but you could have some guys that fall that, with the circumstances of them lacking high picks, might benefit them and be worth a little bit of the risk when you're talking about a late round pick or two.
Good question.
Yeah, well, I think the other element here is, you know, when you think about teams, Brad, they go into a draft and you got to have, you're looking at players, they want them to have tape, they want them to have character, and they want them to have the medical okay. Which one of those is most affected by this?
Well, the medical okay is probably the most affected. The tape's out there, okay? So the tape, that's why the tape is king this year. So what guys aren't able to do is from a prospect standpoint, the guy's not able to take visits and convince the team, you know, no, I was a little bit of a knucklehead a couple years ago, but I'm not a bad guy, you know, so... You've got those guys that there's questions on. Now, listen, are they able to visit on FaceTime or Zoom or whatever? Sure, that can go on. But when teams really want to press a player to get some answers to serious questions they have, they want to do that face-to-face. They want to be able to read the guy's body language. They want to get a true feel for it. And so those guys are going to certainly be impacted. And then the medical rechecks, and there's not a ton of them, but guys that, you know, had medical issues pop up at the combine that clubs said, oh, geez, you know, we need to look into this a little bit more. That's been impossible. And then guys that were dinged a little bit or advised by their agents not to run in Indianapolis. No, I'm not going to run. Come see me in 2.5-3 weeks at my pro day. Those guys have hurt themselves because they don't have an official measured 40 time. and they could go out and put on their own pro day and get the nicest video in the world of it and send it to clubs. But one scout I talked to said that the problem with that was, and the reason that he wouldn't even waste his time looking at something like that, is he said it, there's so much technology out there today that a guy could easily doctor what looks like a perfect video of him running the 40-yard dash. For instance, he said the guy could speed it up just a little bit between, say, the 20 and the 25-yard line, and by doing so, take a tenth of a second off his time. So the people who didn't run or do some of the measured workouts in Indianapolis, that's going to affect them a little bit too.
All right, Bigsy, thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Stay safe, gentlemen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.